1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see what verse we'll start in here. Verse 12, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. All month is about the church. And saying that, I also want you to know that there's someone who's not with us today, not of their own accord, and that's Amanda. She's still in the hospital. She's in COH. And there's a weakness in the heart, and that causes her to not only be weak in her body, but also her breathing. So the blockage that was there has kind of gone away. It's really not there. So I guess they're going to prescribe medication and all that, but it's a day-to-day thing. So right now she's in there today. They may release her tomorrow, but the heart is kind of weak, and it's like it's working extra hard, I guess, to pump the oxygen, the blood through the body, which has the oxygen in it. So that's why you can get breathless at times if your heart's not working the way it should. So we want to keep Amanda in our prayers. Amen? Same with Missy and all the others we've been praying for. That'll keep you on your knees, won't it? That'll keep you on your knees. So that's part of the body of Christ. Amanda is part of the body of Christ. So let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. For one member be honored, all the members be rejoiced with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. I thank you, Lord, that it'll be such a great help to us, I think, if we just get the truths out of it today. Lord, it'll help us to realize just what a wonderful creation the church is, and that it's your church, and that you're the builder. And Father, we pray that you just work in our hearts today. May the Holy Spirit of God fill these truths to us, for we can do nothing without you, absolutely nothing. I pray you'd help me. I pray you'd just help the hearers to open up their hearts, Father, to these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The local church. We're talking about the local church. It is the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. It means it's people. People. Might as well mark 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be going back to that a lot. We're going to go around the New Testament a little bit. But if you turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And in verse 28, the local church is the body of Christ. We're talking about people. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. He didn't purchase an inanimate object. He didn't purchase mortar and wood and stone. He purchased people. He purchased souls, you see. How in the world could a preacher feed a building? We feed people, the Word of God. So we're talking about people. Jesus died for souls. Jesus died for the church. That's the local body of Christ. And we have a specific purpose. You know, the body of Christ is us sitting here today who are saved. We're in the body of Christ. We're a living, breathing entity. You know, we have a purpose, a specific purpose. Some are, in a sense, the hands, and some are the eyes, and some are the nose, and some are the feet and the fingers. But all together, we make up the body of Christ, just like a human body. We are the Lord's eyes and ears and feet and nose in this world today, carrying the gospel, ministering to each other, teaching the word, caring for each other. We're the body of Christ. And we do have a specific purpose. Look, some are here today. Pastor's not here. Amanda's not here. Michael Reeves not here. And there's many others that may not be here. They're away maybe for the holiday, the bank holiday. That's part of the body that's missing, isn't it? They're missing. And we want them back. We want them back. I want all my members back in my body. I don't want my pinky off and I don't want my left arm gone. I want us all together. That's the way the Lord has created the church, the body of Christ. What's our real purpose, though, as a church? First, it's to exalt and honor Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. If we do that, everything else will fall in line. We have to get this vertical relationship right first, not only in our personal lives, but in the church. If we have this right in our own personal life, then as we minister in the church and come together, this will all be right. The reason we have problems this way with each other is because this isn't right. We need to exalt and honor Jesus Christ. He's the living head. He's not a dead Savior. We have a living Savior. And we want to honor Him and exalt Him in everything that we do as His body in the church. We also want to edify each other. We want to build each other up. We don't want to tear each other down. We don't want to hurt each other with our tongues. We want to build each other up because we're a part of the body of Christ. You know, the right arm doesn't want to punch the left arm, nor do I want to punch myself in the head unless there's something wrong with my brain part, you see? So we want to help each other. When the mosquito lands on this arm, this hand smacks it to help it. I want to strengthen you, and you ought to be trying to encourage and strengthen me and build each other up. We care for each other. You probably have a hurt in your heart right now for some people that you've been praying for. It hurt when you heard about Missy, didn't it? It hurt you. She's part of the body of Christ. Not this local member, a local member of this New Testament church, but she's part of the body of Christ. There is a body that's a visible body in the world someday. We're all going up together at the rapture. But this local body still suffered for another member of the body of Christ. Amanda and others that you pray for, you hurt. It's because it's part of your body. It's part of the body. And our other purpose is to evangelize the lost. As we build each other up, and as we're fed, and as we grow, and as we're strengthened, we should go out into this world and know that there's others out there that they don't have what we have. And it's been freely given to us. We ought to freely give to others. God has given us so much. We ought to be able to give it out to a lost world. What they need more than anything is not just food and water. They need the Word of God. They need to be told that there's a Christ who died on the cross at Calvary for their sins. We need to give them the gospel. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's evangelize them. Teach them the gospel. How to be saved. Verse 27, let's look at that back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Many have been through the discipleship course. You've been through the discipleship course. I know I have. A couple times. Yeah. This is one of the memory verses, isn't it? Verse 27 says, now, a good one too because it's short. Yes. We all knew this one. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. There are many different people in this local body. There's all kind of different people here. And there's some that are actual members of this local church. They've actually said, I want the right hand of fellowship. I want to join this local church, New Testament church. I want to be a member, a voting member. I agree with your constitution. I agree with your vision for the world and what God wants you to do. And I agree with that, and I want the right hand of fellowship and to join. So there's members, and there's attenders. But if you're saved, you're still part of the body of Christ. You're still part of the body of Christ. One body. One body. But many local bodies. Local New Testament churches. And we are supposed to be together. In not only what we think, but what we do. We're to be in one accord. We're to have the same mind about things. That's why if you believe in some different doctrine than we do, that we stand on here, the pastor has written in the constitutional bylaws, well then we can't accept you into membership because there will be friction in the body. If you believe something contrary, something drastic, you don't believe in the virgin birth, sorry, you're not going to be a part of this local New Testament church. And you may even be saved, though I don't know how you could be saved and not believe in the virgin birth. That's impossible in itself. But we're supposed to be together. I shouldn't go up to Weston and we be talking about something in the Bible and constantly be at odds at each other over what it says. We believe the same thing. And we kind of do the same things, not robots, but we should all be witnessing and being a testimony, doing the things the Bible tells us to do. That's the local church. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is first. He is a living head. He is the head of the body. Okay? He's the head of the body. The church. Now, it's not just talking about a church just in Corinth or a church just in Colossae. There's a church, a visible church in the world today, and local New Testament churches. Nevertheless, he is the head of this body. He is the head of this church, and Pastor Craig is the under-shepherd. Okay? But he's the head. He's the firstborn of the resurrection, to live again and never die again. He is alive forevermore. Amen? Amen? But Jesus Christ gets the preeminence. He is God Almighty. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's the King. He gets first. So be careful to honor Him in everything that we do. And give Him His rightful place in every ministry also. Jesus Christ gets the preeminence. You say, that's easy. Well, no, it's not apparently, because when we go to 3 John chapter 1, 3 John chapter 1, there's only one chapter, but if you turn to 3 John, one of us thinks the pride can't get into our heart, and we start thinking, it's all about me. It's all about me. No, it isn't. It's about Jesus Christ. He's first. 3 John in chapter verse 9, it says, I wrote unto the church, talking about John, the apostle, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the what? The preeminence. Among them receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. What happened to this guy? I'll tell you what happened. He got pride down in his heart. He didn't want anybody to come in and take away him being first and him being lifted up in the church. In fact, he told John, don't even bother coming. And he had prating words. He boasted against them with bad words, malicious words. And when they came, he didn't even receive them. Why? Because he wanted the preeminence. He wanted to be first. That can creep in. In fact, we live in a world that's nothing but a me generation. And that's crept into the church also. It's all about me. Me. I. That's the world. It shouldn't be that way in the church. Because right off the bat, he's first. Not me. Not you. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And he gets the preeminence. So what can we know about a local church and a body of believers according to the text we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, if you turn back there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, like I said, keep a mark so you can always go back. In verse 20, it says this: "But now are there many members," verse 20, "yet but one body." I mean, I just simply want to say the body is one. The body is one. So all of us here today are one body. Now, I just want you to look in Romans chapter 12 now. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This isn't just something that was thrown in one text. It's all through the Bible, really. But Romans chapter 12 and in verse 4. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, the same roles and responsibilities, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Whew. It's like there's many members but one body. One body but many members. Just mark it down that even though there's many of us here, when Christ looks down, He sees one body working together just like a regular human body. Okay? Now I want you to see that we are knitted together. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. God takes people from all different backgrounds, all different abilities, all different roles in life. I mean, we are a mix, aren't we? I mean, He throws us into the blender and He comes up with one body. And it's a self-governing and self-caring body. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says this. It says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling." Look in verse 16. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So God has pushed us together, or compacted us, pressed us together from all over the world we've come. And here we are this morning in this one local body. God has brought us all together for one reason or another. You're here this morning. And it's because of Jesus Christ. And we sit here this morning, pressed together, fitly joined, I mean perfectly joined together and suitable for the work that God wants to do through this local church. Why? To make increase of the body. So that we would have more people come and become members of the local body here, of the body of Christ. And to build us up in love for each other. That doesn't happen out in the world. That only happens in the church. That only happens as being a member of the body of Christ. Many members, each unique and important. And we see that in the human body itself. I mean, I like my left arm. I like my left leg. In fact, it's been doing all the work for my right leg since I've been hurt. The left leg is fine. It's the right leg that's suffering right now. So the left leg is helping the right leg. It's the same thing in the church. It's like the human body. Each member is unique and important. I need a nose. I want to smell. I need eyes. I want to see. So when you're not here and you choose not to come willingly, say, "I'm not going to church. I'm not going to serve in a ministry," you've crippled us in some way. You've crippled the body of Christ. When I had the cast on my leg, I had to walk on crutches and kind of drag it behind me. And that's what happens to the church. When everybody's not pulling their weight. When the eye isn't seeing and the ear isn't hearing and the nose isn't smelling. We all need to be doing what God has called us to do. We're each unique and important. Don't think someone is more important than you because they are not. That's exactly what we're going to see in our text. Now look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. Why should we see ourselves each important and unique? And well, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Doesn't matter. I don't care for one more than I care for the other. If you're a respecter of persons, that's a sin. That's against God, because God is no respecter of persons. We don't look on one person above another person. That's not the way it should be. It's the way the world does business. But nobody's more important to me than anybody else. We're all uniquely and equally important in the body of Christ. Otherwise, there would be divisions. There would be schisms or rifts in the body of Christ. Just like you would have a rift in your own body. If the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing in the sense that it doesn't know how to slap the mosquito bite, it keeps missing. It's not connected together somehow. There should be no divisions in the body. Look at 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1 and verse 10. I mean, Paul begins the whole book to the church at Corinth saying some things about divisions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, I'm begging you, brethren, listen to me, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." We all have one Bible, amen? We're all sitting here with a King James Bible on our lap, so we should all speak the same thing. "And that there be no divisions among you." No divisions. "That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And I say in the same goals and in the same purpose. So be careful not to exclude anyone from your little, what do they call it? Clicks is what they call it. You know, we have friends. We may have dearer friends than others. But when it comes time into the body of Christ, I don't love one more than the other. Now, I may spend more time with another who's a dear friend. But when it comes time to fellowship, we are together in fellowship. And be careful not to exclude somebody because they're not part of your clique. That vision in the church. That is a schism that runs right down the middle of the body of Christ. And guess what? He's not happy with it one bit. Because God is no respecter of persons. Don't develop cliques in the church. We're all together. We should all have the same care one for another. I mean, you wouldn't cut off your right arm, would you? Then why do you cut some other people off in your fellowship? Why are some more important? Why would you do that? You're cutting off a member of the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Division is carnal. Division in the body of Christ is carnal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 1 it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Are you not walking according to the flesh," he's saying? "One says I'm a Paul, one says I'm Apollos. Are we not all ministers of Christ?" That's carnal. Division is fleshly. It's worldly. It is not spiritual one bit. If we're walking carnally, we will have division in the church. Look at chapter 11 and verse 18. Chapter 11 and verse 18. So if you are a respecter of persons, or you are excluding some from your little circle of fellowship, you're carnal. You're worldly. And you need to get right with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18, it says, "For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Paul's getting ready to talk, to have the Lord's table next week. "And many will partake of the Lord's table with respective persons in their heart. Out of fellowship with others in the church." I tell you this, why don't you just get right with God? And go to that person and get that thing right. Otherwise, don't partake of the Lord's table. You drink damnation to yourself. You drink unworthily. Paul's saying there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. He says there's heresies. But there's also other divisions in the church. And one is, I have fellowship with that person. Then don't partake of the Lord's table. That's a sin you need to get under the blood and confess it as a sin. It's carnal. That's a division in the body of Christ. And he says it's one body. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I used to think when it was quiet, maybe it wasn't going over so well. But now I know that when it's quiet, people are thinking. And we all need to take a good look in our own hearts. We really do. Because this is a big hindrance to the church, is divisions. And we think, oh, I'm not dividing the church. Yes, you are. If you're excluding someone from fellowship, then you're carnal, and you're causing division in the church. We all need to take a good look into our heart. But James chapter 3 and verse 14 says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't think it's okay, because this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And one is the author of the evil work of confusion, and that's Satan. That's Satan. Envying, having bad thoughts towards someone because they're happy. That's what envying is. Someone's doing well and you just don't like that. I can't stand it they got that good job. I can't stand it they're doing so well. That's envy. You don't want them to do well. We're supposed to give fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We ought to be rejoicing with that person. And don't look at me, because we've all been there. We've all done it. That's who we are, unless we're walking spiritually. And strife. We have contention against each other and anger against each other. We struggle, just like two opponents in a boxing ring. We're going at it. Oh, we're not physically going at it. Those words cut like a knife. And that bitterness in our heart, we fail the grace of God, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's be careful. Let's be careful not to tear down what God is building. Let's be careful not to be the one that's pulling out the stone out of the wall every time the mason comes by and puts another stone in. We pull it down that night. It's not pleasing to the Lord. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 9, we are one body. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God's the one that builds the church. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, and may I say to each of you, I want to be a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. In particular, this is talking to pastors, building a church. Take heed how you build your church. We ought to take heed how we build this local body, because it is His work. This is not, we're just co-laborers with Him. This is God's work. And it's a glorious thing in His sight. And He wants to present it to the Father. Jesus Christ wants to present it to the Father without spot or wrinkle. Careful that we don't tear down what Christ is doing. Let me go back there. I thought there was one more. But let me just say, we are one in Christ. I was thinking, you know, the Lord doesn't just save black people. The Lord just doesn't save white people or yellow people or red people. He saves all people because He sees souls. The Lord saves souls. And He doesn't respect anybody above anybody else. Rich, poor, all together in the same body, striving together for what? To exalt and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's no separate mansions in heaven. We'll be living side by side. Dwell safely with thy neighbor. You know? So whoever you're having angst against down here, you might be living next to up there. So be careful. Be careful. We're one in our brotherhood. There ought to be charity and fellowship and love and fellowship. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 22. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more honor, more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. God has done this, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. So it doesn't matter what talent you have, doesn't matter your financial status, doesn't matter your skin color, your nation of birth. That is not what separates us, and that is not what binds us together. Jesus Christ binds the church together. The only reason I'm here is because I'm saved. And then He had a call on my life. And the only reason you're here is because you're saved. Why in the world would we all be sitting together here today, listen to this preacher, try to preach the Word of God, unless Jesus Christ was right at the center of it, the whole thing? He's the one that holds the church together. And that's the reason we're here. He's the one that binds us together. See, it says, God hath tempered. And the word can mean to, He combined everything together to make us stronger, not weaker. He makes us stronger together. I'm going to talk a little more about that in a minute. But all members are to be used of God. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Are you not here because God has brought you here and placed you in this local body? I mean, He made me. He made me and gave me the members of my body. He put it all together the way it pleased Him. And He's put this church together the way it is because it pleased Him. Not us. Him. So each member is placed there by God. You are here because God brought you here. And God placed you here. And that takes away any pride or anything like that. I'm just here because God brought me here. Some of you may be wondering, why are you here? Why don't you go back to the States? Well, God brought me here. And I love you. And you're going to have to love me. That's the way it is. We love each other. Because I guarantee you, I'll be living right next to you if you don't like me. Forever. You can't get rid of me. My dog will bark all night. Bother you all the time. Anyway. But this is God's work. And we serve Him. Please Him. You see in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. The body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. Say that again. I'm the body of Christ. I'm not the body of anybody else. We're the body of Christ. God hath placed us each in here as it pleased Him. It's all for the Lord. Not anything else, not anyone else. I'm just here because of Him. Simple as that. So, we ought to be what God has created in each one of us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You may know this verse. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are His workmanship. Forget Picasso and Michelangelo. Jesus Christ is putting together a masterpiece. A beautiful bride to present to His Father in that day. And He said, we are His workmanship created in Jesus Christ unto good works. We're serving Him. And God has before ordained. That was what was in His mind when He created the church. I want them to do good works, want them to have an effect in the world, to be light all out and out. Good works. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Each member is equally important. Each member is equally important. Nobody's more important than anybody else in the body of Christ. You might not think you need your right thumb until you go to try to grab something and you don't have an opposable thumb. You might want to lose a finger here and there and you say, I can still do this and that. A finger the rest of your life. Won't be there anymore. It's important because it's the way God made us. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say," you say, if we do these things, if the ear shall say, "because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" And then we read again, "but God hath set them in the body," right? Remember, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. So each of us are equally important for the role that we're supposed to be fulfilling in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what it is. It really doesn't matter what it is. Do you know who put your hymnals on your chairs today? Because it wasn't you, was it? It's already done. It's Tatiana. Tatiana put the hymnal on the chairs today. If she wasn't here, someone else would have to do it. But Tatiana did it. There's two people in the creche watching the kids. If they weren't here, they wouldn't be fulfilling their role. Tatiana is just as important as those that are in there watching those kids. We're all the same. We're all equally important. Nobody is, as they say, the cock of the walk. You know, the big banny rooster. Snapping your suspenders. Jesus Christ is preeminent in the church. Verse 15 and 16, it talks about the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? I don't want you to compare yourself to others. That's bad. And I'll show you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Don't you just love your Bible? Because otherwise I would have nothing to say, absolutely nothing to say, first of all. But I wouldn't have anything to say of importance. I just want to show you in the Bible, though, that if you're comparing yourself to somebody else, you are not wise. All right? That's why I love my Bible. It corrects me, and it tells me how to live. In verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10, 12, for we dare, I don't care if you're double dog dare, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Are not wise. Be careful you don't compare yourself to anybody else. We're all of the same importance in God's eyes. And when he looks down, when he looked down from the cross, the ground before the cross was all level. He didn't save this one and not save that one. He would save all that come to him. Even the one hanging on the cross next to him. He said, you'll be with me in paradise today. If you're here today and you think I'm not good enough to be saved, give me a break. Do you know he saved me? Do you know what I was? I don't want to tell you. But he saved me. And he can save you too. And you think you're going to get to heaven by being good? Or for your religion? Sorry. All the ground before the cross is level. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We live and serve to please him. Revelation 4:11. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. That will cause bitterness and envying and strife more than anything. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we shouldn't think ourselves any more or any less important than anybody else, because God created me for his pleasure. And he created you for his pleasure. He's creating this church for his pleasure. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? If we're all the same, we couldn't function. It's not a matter of missing one. If my whole body was just a bunch of arms sticking out of it, I need two eyes to see. We all can't be in the creche, and we all can't be in Sunday school, and we all can't work together. I have two legs, not one. I have two arms, two eyes. Only one nose is needed, but if I didn't have it, I couldn't smell. All has a function. It works together. Many different roles and many different responsibilities, but all equally important and equally necessary in the body. Simple as that. You wouldn't think about your little pinky toe very much until it started to hurt real bad. And you say, I can't get my mind off that little pinky toe because it won't stop hurting. It's aching. See, all of a sudden we remember that there's people in the church that we might not have thought of, but now we're thinking about them because they're hurting. Because they're important. They're important because they're there in the body of Christ. God thinks they're important, and we ought to think that each person is important. And let me get it. And God made you and saved you. In verse 18 it says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Well, it's God that saved us. It's God that placed us in the body as it pleased Him. And God doesn't make any mistakes. You know, Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is a rock, His work is perfect." 1 Samuel chapter 22:31, "As for God, His ways are perfect." He's never made a mistake. Leo, God never said, "Oops." Well, maybe. No. He never said, "Oops." He never made a mistake. He's perfect in everything that He does. So we ought to just say, "Thank you, Lord, for putting me right where I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be." Because He does everything perfectly. We're all important. And we're all to be used of God. And finally, each member is empowered by God. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18 again. "But God. But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body." Each member is empowered by God. Let me ask you this. It's funny that, you know, Amanda's heart has to work a little harder, and hopefully that muscle is going to get stronger, and with the right medication, and as the doctors get us through this thing, that, and with God's help, she'll be okay, you see? And she'll come through this, and we're praying for her. But how many hearts do you have? One. It's important, isn't it? It's an important part. And we need the heart in our body. It's the power. It's the engine. I had an illustration of a Ferrari. It looks nice. Look at that. It doesn't have an engine in it, though. What good is it? It needs an engine. We are empowered by God. If you're doing your ministry apart from the power of God, what did we learn about last week? It's useless. It's absolutely useless. The Lord said, "For without me you can do nothing." Oh, things will be accomplished, but nothing spiritual, nothing with a crown at the end. "No, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for trusting in me." Many a ministry where God is completely gone. Ichabod's been written over the door. God's not even there anymore. They meet all over. There's churches where God's not even in them. God's not even a part of it. May that not be the case in our local ministry here. God is the engine here. God is the power that we do anything. In verse 11, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as He will." Who? The Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no power whatsoever. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to serve in the Spirit. That's the power of God, is the Holy Spirit of God, ministering in us and through us to each other and for each other and out to a lost world. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit's power. And that's why many times so little is accomplished in the church for God's glory. Because it's the Holy Spirit's not even in the ministry. He's not even in our hearts. He's not filling us and empowering us. Verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So one Spirit. Our bond and our power comes all through the Spirit of God. We need each other. We need each other. I need each person in this room to fulfill their role in the ministry as the Holy Spirit gives you that power. As the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. You know, I wouldn't want to just tell somebody, "You need to teach Sunday school. You need to be in the crutch. You." And Pastor Craig, I'm sure he will encourage you, but it's the Holy Spirit, it says here, that has... In verse 11, "But these worketh one in the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." He puts it in your heart to teach. You're the one that says, "I can't do it." And God says, teach. And you say, I can't do it. And finally you get right with God and you say, all right, I'll teach. And I'll let you teach through me, Lord. But it's the Lord in us. Our bond comes through. Let's look at verses 21 again. Verses 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And it goes on and on. And then verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We all need each other. And we honor and help and care for those that are less feeble. That are feeble and those that are less comely. I mean, someone can be feeble, weak physically. They could be infirmed in some way. Maybe they're just not as zealous as the next person. Or not as strong. They're feeble. And some are comely. David was comely, it says. Now, he had a lot of bigger brothers, but apparently God looked into his heart and said, David's comely. He's strong and suitable for the work. And there's many that are stronger, it seems, and more zealous for the Lord and more suited for the work. And there's some that seem feeble. Well, they're in the body together for the same reason, to temper the body, to care for each other. We want to help each other because that's what the verse is saying in verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Because some, the comely parts, have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Some of you may bring Mick once in a while. Mick can't get here without somebody helping him. So he would be looked at as maybe a feeble part of the body. So a comely part of the body gets the feeble part of the body and brings him here, and that tempers the comely part and gets the feeble part here, and we bestow honor on him. You know what it does? It keeps the pride out of the congregation. It keeps the pride out. It says, he's as important as I am. And if we pick him up and bring him here, he's supposed to be here. God wants him here. I had one leg that was more feeble, so the left leg had to help the right leg. It's not any less honorable. It's just as important. It just needs to help. It needs help from a comely part. We need to honor each other and care for each other. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. I won't be keeping you long today because we're almost done here. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, back in chapter 5 and verse 14, I just noticed here, chapter 5, verse 14 says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now let's read Galatians 6, 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, to love each other. Isn't that the law of Christ? That you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love each other. To love each other. We're supposed to love each other. And if we do, we'll bear one another's burdens. We'll bear one another's burdens. Just like we're bearing the burden for Amanda, we all bear that together. So that when one suffers, we all suffer. But also, when one is honored, we rejoice with them. We don't get bitter towards them. We don't envy them, because that's what envying is. Being mad at someone else's, being angry at someone else's good fortune. That's envy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We rejoice with them. You know, each one of us is supposed to be a vessel unto honor. We are to keep our bodies a clean vessel and do it unto honor. We should all be getting honor from each other because we're living for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17, the Bible says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You see that? Honor all men, but love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood and fear God. Men are to honor their wives. because of the weaker vessel, feeble. So we're to honor them. We're to honor our wives. We ought to honor each other. And we ought to rejoice when someone even maybe gets an honor up here in some way or gets a pat on the back. We rejoice with them. We don't get bitter in our hearts towards them. Finally, verse 13 again. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just finish up here. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, "For by one Spirit, not many spirits, one, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, doesn't matter to God, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." When you were baptized by the Holy Spirit, that's when you were baptized into, immersed into the body of Christ. That's not the water baptism. That was the spiritual baptism that all of us must partake of in order to be in the body. In the body. It was a baptism. But it was by one Spirit. So our power comes through the Spirit of God. Not just your talent, your abilities, because then you would get prideful and think it's all about you. But it's not all about you or me. It's about Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us as we yield to Him. The same thing a nice red Ferrari sitting out there is absolutely useless without an engine in it. It needs power. And the power in the church is God, not us. We see what men do in the church. Nothing. There's a bunch of dead churches out there. But when God's in the midst, great things can happen in the church. Without the Spirit, we're like a body without a heart. We need the power of God to do the work of God. We need the power of God for the body to be a Christian body. There's a lot of people meeting out there and they can call themselves church. There's the church of Satan. They meet together. It's a called out body of Satan worshipers. They're called the church of Satan. We're the church of Christ. We're His body. He's the power. And we are a Christian body. So, Christian, this is God's work. This is God's work here. This is what He's doing. And whatever happens here, He ought to get the glory for it. He ought to get the glory for it. We're the body of Christ. We're one body. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Each one very important. We're the body of Christ. One body. All members. Everybody in here should be serving in a ministry. You say, "I can't do anything." Then you've just not listened to the message today. Because this finger is just as important as this finger. Okay? So you're just as important as anyone else. If you're not serving for some reason, then I call that spiritual pride. "Oh, I could never do that. Oh, I could never be like that." That's spiritual pride. Get over it and go into the crash. Start serving God. Each member is empowered by God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that works in us to accomplish anything in this church. And the local New Testament church is God's building. And He's building it through the souls. As people get saved, they come into the body of Christ, and they're used by God. What an amazing thing that He would take a bunch of misfits like us and make something so wonderful that He will present to His Father someday. And do you think He's going to go, "Oh, look at him, Father"? He's going to say, "Look at him." No, He's going to say, "Look at my bride. She's as clean and white and spotless without a blemish. And I love her so much. Look at her." He's going to do that with us. You too, Leo. You're a part of it. So the challenge really is, you are a valuable member of the local church here. You're a valuable member of the body of Christ. Don't you think any differently. Where do you fit in? Where does God want you to serve? I just want you to know that there should be the same care and love for each one of us toward each other. Amen? Let's pray.